James, so we reverse this. We try to get high oil prices to cripple the Chinese, but what will happen to them if this plan succeeds?
Well, the Chinese are not as vulnerable on high oil prices as the Russians were to low oil prices. The Chinese import about half of their crude oil. They produce about half of what they need themselves. But it hurts them, and it would slow them down. If they have to pay through the nose for crude oil and other raw materials, you know, what I note in the book is that looks like we've been doing the same thing with iron ore and bauxite. Those are two other key raw materials that the Chinese are dreadfully short of, have to import it from long distances abroad. So the Chinese have their vulnerabilities, and it looks like we're going after them. How long it would take? You know, it took more than a decade to bring down the Soviets. It might take twice that long against China, which I think is in some ways better prepared for economic
warfare. Yeah, they've got a stronger staying power, I think, don't you?
Yeah, they've seen this freight train coming, and they've tried to position themselves for it. They're intimately familiar with the concepts of economic warfare. They've been at it longer than we have, I think. In fact, you could argue that the U.S. is just responding to what amounts to economic warfare behavior by the Chinese.
But, you know, given the fact, though, that in spite of the fact that it's so-called a communist government, in that this group of 85 that runs China, they're all making a fortune, in the fact that people aren't voting for them. But by and large, the country is pretty capitalistic, isn't it?
Yes, at a low level, but their heavy industry still is highly state dominated. And so,
like we're getting.
Well,
that's true.
Right. But I mean, they control the strategic industries like their steel, aluminum, metals industries, petroleum is heavily concentrated. Their banks are mostly owned by the government. It's still a small crowd of people calling the shots there on the economy. So, and it's an authoritarian state, which has rather brutal tendencies. They're apoplectic about the idea of people getting out of control, getting unhappy. And so whenever these spontaneous uprisings break out in China, you see the Chinese come down on them like a ton of bricks, you know, and they quickly and forcefully, they put this stuff down and crack heads.
So, some say the world is running out of oil. I happen to believe in the abiotic oil theory, that this planet has an abundance of oil, that it has created it from the mantle on down. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the Earth's crust is not about to run out of hydrocarbons anytime in the foreseeable future. There's lots of it there. There's lots of it there that could be drilled right now.
Not plants and dinosaurs either.
No, it's not. I'm with you. I think the Earth, grinding away, way, way down there, generates lots of hydrogen, oxygen, very, you know, light elements. They move toward the surface, and when they do, they combine with carbon. So you get hydrocarbons, and they form long chains. They get cooked into long chains and get trapped in the rocks. It's a matter of drilling for them and finding them, and the technology is getting better and better all the time to drill deeper, drill more accurately. We can go after smaller pools of the stuff.
I mean, I'd still like to see us on electric cars and things like that. I mean, but I just don't think we're running out of oil.
We're not, and that's the world's oil reserves now are as large as they were 20 years ago.
And we're using more.
Yeah, twice as much. And our ability to find and produce this stuff, the cost keeps going down and down and down. So I just don't buy the whole peak oil scare thing. It's really, it smacks of propaganda, which is what you would expect in an economic warfare environment. And in fact, in the 1980s, there was a propaganda effort exactly the reverse to try and convince the world that we were glutted with oil and that the price is going to go nowhere for a long time. So you can see there's a whole bunch of perception management going on behind this. It's not science, really.
James, this oil card, as you call it, can it backfire on us?
Well, I think that there are lots of unintended consequences in this kind of market manipulation. And I think we saw a bunch of that in 2008 when everything went crazy. And I think the one thing to expect is more unexpected volatility and wild gyrations when you least expect it. You know, it's that in itself may be a weapon in economic warfare. You know, the destabilization of currencies and whole economies in big upsets. The basic theory, I think, is at work here is that we get a cold, but the other guys get pneumonia. As bad as things get in the United States, we can weather this stuff because we got deeper pockets and we're better prepared for it. It's the more tenuous economies, the more fragile economies that are much more vulnerable to it. So, you know, it's like playing a game of poker. It's whoever sits down at the table with the biggest stack of chips tends to walk away with the biggest stack of chips and take the other guys with him. So if we were waging economic war, you would expect that we would encourage periodic spates of volatility that might wreck the other guys. So hang on to your seatbelts, I think.
Now, this is here's something I don't understand. Explain this for me. Whenever we want more money, we print it because we have nothing to back it up. There's no gold standard anymore, so we print it. You know, our banks will print it, and we borrow it, and that's the way it is. Why can't these poorer nations that also don't have money, why can't they just print it?
Well, in a way, they do. We're able to do it because we are the world's reserve currency. In other words, most international...
We're the banker, basically. Debts.
Yeah, I mean, they use the dollar to settle international debts, and so we can print this stuff, and there's a huge market for it abroad. So we can basically print as much as we need. There's no particular limit on it. Now, the Chinese sort of do the same thing. Well, what they do is they make bad loans to themselves from their state-controlled banks. And so they generate lots of – they lend out huge amounts of money and take back a bunch of bad debts. And so the balance sheets on these Chinese banks – it's hard to know what their real status is, but they're lugging along large amounts of non-performing loans from their industries, which they have to periodically recapitalize. You know, the government comes in and wipes out the debt somewhere. At some point, that game would be up, though, and they would face a credit crisis. I suppose we could too if we couldn't keep rolling over our debt. But so far, the international community has been eager to buy treasury bills, even at almost – they pay almost no interest now. They're still desperate for treasury bills because it's the relatively strongest currency in the world still.
They've got to put their money someplace, right?
Yeah, and it's as safe as you're going to get. So currency valuations, that's really where the rubber meets the road. And the big – conflict now between the U.S. and China is for us. We are trying to get them to raise the value of their grossly undervalued currency. That's why the Federal Reserve is keeping interest rates near zero, because we're trying to keep our currency low too. If you don't pay any interest on your treasury bills, then the value of the dollar is going to be low.